You love the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
I have to be honest with you, I'm never comfortable preaching. In high school, one most easily embarrassed and most shy of our high school, we had about 3,000 students where I went to high school, and they used to bring me up in front of everyone and let me turn red. I'd turn red the fastest and stay red the longest, and I never spoke any words in school and all the way through school until about my senior year. And I went to law school before I went to seminary, and I worked for a bank, and I was going to be content to be a lawyer and just speak before two or three people and make lots of money. Now I speak before lots of people and make hardly any money. God has a sense of humor. For the next three nights, I just want to share with you, our church has been very blessed of God. It has to be God. Once you hear me the next three nights, you'll say, boy, God must do some great works down there in spite of him. I just want to share with you for the next three nights, I'm going to share what my heart and what our ministry is about there at the Fairhaven Baptist Church. We're all about bringing people to Christ. I believe that's the heartbeat of the church, or it should be. I believe soul winning covers a multitude of sin. It makes up for a lot of mistakes I've made along the way. I want to thank your pastor for having me. I asked him when he asked me to come. I said, two things. I said, you've never met me. And he said, well, how do you know that? And I said, because if you knew me, you would never ask me to preach in October during bow season. I just feel God was testing me outside of my calling to preach and my wife. I love hunting. And when he said October, I said, oh, God, did he make a mistake? Did he mean February or March, you know? But I do love preaching more, and I love hunting, and I'm glad to be here. I ask you to turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 11. Our people, their book flops right open to Proverbs. I spent 5 years teaching the book of Romans on Sunday night, and they thought that was a long time. We're 6 years into the book of Proverbs, and we're not done yet. And they said, what are you going to do when you're done with Proverbs? I'm going to do Psalms, and I can retire. You know, I just got it all planned. It's great job security. They can't get rid of me until I finish the book of Psalm. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. I just want to read one verse with you. It says there, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And here's what I want you to pay attention to. And he that when a soul is wise. Let's go to Lord in prayer. Father, tonight as we approach your word, I pray that we'd just shut out all the cares of the world that have bombarded us all day today. All the problems that we faced and maybe the problems that we'll face tomorrow can distract us and not allow us to hear what you'd want us to hear tonight. So I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would prepare our hearts for what you'd have to say. I ask that in the next few moments that Christ would be lifted up and glorified. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in Proverbs, chapter 11, verse 30, Proverbs written by the wisest man in all the world. Now, some people think they're smart. Some people think they're wise. But we know Solomon was the wisest man in all the world because God said he was the wisest man in all the world. So we can be very clear tonight as we look at this text. The man who wrote this, inspired of the Holy Spirit of God, impressed upon Solomon to say this, he that winneth souls is wise. I want to speak on the subject tonight, what soul winning can do for you or what soul winning can do for your church. I've been pastoring now at the Fairhaven Baptist Church. In February it'll be 17 years. The years have just flown by. I have to be honest with you. It seems like yesterday. For some people, it seems like it's been an eternity I've been there. And we thank God that they've moved on to another church. But honestly, it feels like I just went there yesterday. We started with about 40 adults. And there was a few children. The church was in a mess. The former pastor had fallen into sin. You don't need to know that. It was just an ugly situation. They hadn't had anyone saved or baptized in a long time. When they called me to be their pastor, my wife came to me and said this. She said, honey, don't go there. I said, I don't want to go there. That's a dead church. I was associate pastor at a large work, my home church, where I'm out of. And And I was supposed to be the next pastor there, and we had all the programs and brand new building. And my children came in. My daughter was a teenager, and she said, "Dad, don't go there." She said, "You can't take me away from all my friends and all our activities at the church." I said, "Don't worry, honey, we're not going." My boys came and said, "Dad, please do not go there. That is one sorry church." I said, "Don't worry, guys, we're not going." God ended up calling us there. I told the men when they called me, I said, "You may really want to reconsider when I tell you what I need to tell you." I said, "No longer will we operate the way you've been operating at the church." They had good preaching. The pastor before me was 10 times preacher I'll ever be. I knew the Hebrew, the Greek. The only Hebrew I know is he runs a little tailor shop down the road from us. You know, I mean, Greek. I don't even eat Greek salad. You know, I said, this guy was a tremendous preacher. I'd heard him preach. He was just well-versed in Scripture. I said, "Fellas, that's not my ministry. My ministry is preaching, but I'm all about soul winning." And so I set the church on a course that everything we do in our church, everything we do, is about bringing people to Christ. If we have a Singspiration, or we'll be having the Speck Trio back with us, Michael Speck Trio, they'll be back with us in November. You have to have the gospel. If we have a campfire, you have to have the gospel. Because we just believe it's soul winning is the answer to every problem that you'll have in the church. That's what I want to speak about tonight, what soul winning can do for your church. I'm going to give you three or four simple little points, and you can do whatever you want. You may not like them. Just smile and act like you do so I'll feel good when I leave and things like that. What will soul winning do for your church? What will it do for you? Well, the first thing that I put down, what soul winning will do for you, soul winning will produce future investments. I don't know about you. I've invested in the stock market. Last time I checked, me and my wife, we're going to retire and have a great week. 1 week. We did have a month until a few years ago when it all got messed up and we dropped down. But we're up to a week now and we're looking forward towards retirement someday. We don't know where we'll go for that week, but we're going to have a great time. Soul winning invests into the future. At our church, we have Olympian program that's from first grade through sixth grade on Wednesday nights. We have a gopher. I don't know why you want to bring your kids to our church and call them gophers, but we do. And that's for the 4- and 5-year-olds. We have a teen department. It's called the Word of Life program on Wednesday nights. We have Sunday school for every member of the thing. We even have a nursery all the time. We have adult Sunday school, and sometimes we get them confused with the little ones, you know. But everything we do is geared to bring people to Christ because it's future investment. About 6 months ago, I was preaching on a Sunday night. We're in the book of Proverbs, and everyone knows that. They come, they get their deck of cards while I'm preaching, they do something. I got done preaching that Sunday night, and a lady came to me, and she said, "Preacher, do you know who I am?" I said, "I hope not. This is my wife next to me." You know, I said, "I claim I don't know you." She said, "My little girl died about a year ago." She said, "I didn't have a church. I didn't have any hope. The funeral home contacted you and asked you to come and preach our little girl's funeral." She said, "I cannot tell you the hours that we spend weeping over losing our baby. But," she said, "you said something in the funeral that gave me hope." She said, "You said you believe babies go to heaven." I said, "No, ma'am, I didn't say that. I said babies do go to heaven. I don't believe that. The Word of God teaches that." And I shared some scripture with her. And people say, why do you do stuff like that? I preach about 200 or 300 funerals a year. People say, "Why do you do that?" It's future investment. That lady would have never, under any other circumstance, came to our church and hear me preach. And you're going to be wondering why you come back 3 nights and say, "This is the best you could do, preacher? Come on, you know." Soul winning, invest in the future. I was in Fort Worth, Texas, going to Bible school. My Bible school is a hyper-Calvinist school. They don't believe in soul winning. They believe God elected some to heaven, some to hell. I don't believe that. I'm one of the very rare. They let me graduate in 3 years instead of 4 because I didn't agree with them doctrinally, and they couldn't get rid of me. They said, "This guy might be here 6 years. Let's get him out," you know. And I was out soul winning. I was soul winning when I was in Bible school because I believe in future investment. Knocked on a door. A fellow came to the door. He's all scarred up. Just scarred. I said, "My name's Bob McDonald. I belong to the Kennedale Baptist Church in town here. We're just out inviting folks to church." He said, "God sent you here." I said, well, I hope so. He said, you don't know my life. I said, no, sir, I don't even know your name yet. We just met. He said, my name's Dave, and I want to tell you a terrible story. And he told me how he got off into sin, that he was in a head-on collision, and that he, in his 1965 Mustang, went through the windshield in this head-on collision, and it's where he got all the scars from his body. And he said, I've been running from God a long time. Could you tell me how I could find God and go to heaven? Had the opportunity to win him to Christ that day. And from that day on, I made a decision. No matter if I was a pastor or a member of a church, I was going to belong to a church who was a soul winning church so we can invest in the future of people's lives. Every person that you come in contact with is either going to die and go to heaven or go to hell. It doesn't matter what denomination they are. It doesn't matter if they've been a member of a church, baptized, teaching Sunday school. It doesn't matter if grandma brought them their whole lives. It's what they've done with Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And I made a decision a long time ago before I ever graduated from seminary. And you won't believe I did graduate, but I didn't let it ruin me. I'm going to invest in the future of people's lives. I'm going to tell people about Jesus. That's what our ministry at Fairhaven Baptist is all about. It's not about the pastor, though sometimes I think it should. This was Pastor Appreciation Week. I got an apple pie last night. No, my family doesn't know about it, and they won't. In time you tell, it'll all be gone anyways. It's entered into the ministry. I decided a long time ago, I'm going to invest in the future of people's lives, where they will spend eternity. Soul winning will meet every problem you have in the church. You know what soul winning will produce in your church? Number two, fun. I like to have fun. I grew up in an age, and you may have too, I grew up in an age that the meaner you were, the more spiritual you were. You ever been around those people? I mean, I've heard some preachers that they preached on chocolate candy bars because it'll rot your teeth out. I said, good grief, buddy. I was in a meeting one time, and a guy was preaching against Nintendo. This is how old I am. You remember Nintendo. He was preaching on Nintendo, and I was preaching next. So I got up, and they said, well, man, we can't hear what you had to say after he preached on Nintendo. I said, I used to preach on colored TVs until I got one. I think soul winning will produce fun in your church. I have never, we have a large soul winning program in our church. All day Monday is our designated day to go soul winning. You can't be a deacon in our church if you don't come soul winning. Can't be a trustee. You've got to be a soul winner. Just how it is. You say, what if they don't agree with you? Some other dead church will take them. Doesn't bother us. I have never seen two deacons go out and go soul winning and come back fussing and fighting with each other. I think one of the first times Brent and I went soul winning together, I don't know if you remember this, Brent, you remember when we went over to the Schuster family? Mrs. Schuster was dying, and dear old lady, she loved her preacher, and a pretty rough time around the family. And so Brent and I went over there just to be a comfort to him on a Monday night visit, and when we left that house, when we got in the car, Brent and I were laughing so we had to go to the bathroom. We were laughing so hard. We didn't know if we'd make it back to the church, you know. And so when Brent and I got back, we said, are we supposed to laugh this much out soul winning? We just had so much fun together. And what it does is that fun, or you can use the word joy, it produces a joy. You go out and you go soul winning and you win someone to Christ and you come back to the church, you're going to be all excited. I have three grandchildren. You said, you have pictures of them? No, but I have a picture of this deer I killed if you'd like to see it. And I have three grandchildren. We've had the privilege that when our grandchildren were born, we had the privilege of being at the hospital when they were born. God had planned it out that in between services they could get born. And I've never been to a nursery. You know, you go to the hospital and they got all these little babies all lined up. I've never been there and stood at the window and looked and heard some grandfather or a dad or a mom say, oh, boy, is that one ugly baby. I can't wait to get that one home, you know. Could they do anything about that nose that came on that one? I've never seen that. Here, they're all standing there. Every grandparent thinks their kid is the best-looking one in the nursery. They said, did you see that cute one? I said, oh, you met my grandson already. No, over here. This is ours. People get all excited. There's joy and fun when there's a new baby born. That's what soul winning does to a church. You want to get a church excited and on fire for God? You just have people start walking down the aisle of that church, all excited, all on fire, saying, hey, preacher, do you mind? We just tell you, we led this one. Is it all right we get this one down to the altar and we train them and get them baptized? I can see your preacher now.
Yeah, we'll have to pray about that, brother.
No, you get him all excited. Someone can produce fun in the church. I'm not bragging on me. I don't want you to think it's me at all, but I think it's been 10 years now. We've never gone a Sunday that we haven't had someone saved at least one throughout the week. Never. People say, oh, you guys are lucky. I don't believe in luck. I believe in the law of sowing and reaping. My staff, if you work for me, you have to make 200 visits a week, door to door. Knock on 200 doors. Adam, I'm not trying to get in trouble, but you come work full-time for church, you ought to knock on doors. Being totally honest. And people say, well, yeah, what do you mean? Man, I'm telling you what. It's an exciting place around our church. Not because of the preaching or the singing. We're always excited about who's going to get saved this week. Who's going to come down the aisle. One of my deacons was dying here just a few weeks ago. I still haven't got over his death. He's in heaven, so you can hear what I have to say about him. He's the meanest man I ever heard met in my life. Really was. He's just an honorary old deacon. He's one of those guys, I'm mean, I'm spiritual. You know, and we became really good friends. We've been out to eat many times together and spent a lot of time together. Ed was in hospice dying. I was scheduled to go away on a trip for a week. Me and my wife were going to go away. And I went by they gave him originally a couple years to live with the cancer. And if you take the chemo, maybe more. And then they said, now he has 6 months to live. I said, man, I sure don't want to trust any of these doctors. And I went to see him in the hospital. He's just ornery. He wouldn't get up, walk, wouldn't do what the doctor said. And his doctor was his brother. So they called me and said, hey, can you come to the hospital? So I walked in there. And I know this doesn't sound very spiritual as a pastor. I said, hey, yo, fart, shut up. Everyone said, that's your preacher and he called you that. I said, I wouldn't do it in church, you know. And I'm not at my church, so I can say that word. I said, yo, fart, shut up. He was just giving everyone a hard time. I said, you're going to get up and walk. He said, I don't want to walk. I said, you're going to get up and walk. His doctor is also his nephew who's at the hospital also, and he said, thanks for coming. I said, no, just you guys leave. He's walking. So I got him out of bed, and we walked up and down. And it wasn't too long after that, a matter of a few days, he was taken to hospice and said just a matter of hours that he would live. He is one of those guys in our church, though he was mean and ornery, everyone loved him because we just knew who he was. One of the young ladies in our church, she cleans his house, and she went by to see old Brother Ed in hospice before he died. She wanted to see him and talk to him one more time. She was walking into hospice, and she looked across, right across the room. She said, that's my aunt in hospice. She went in the room. She said, that's my aunt. Her aunt's Catholic. She said, I'm so glad you came. She said, well, I really didn't come to... Oh, yeah, I'm glad to see you. And she said, why are you glad that I came? She said, because I'm lost. And I'm dying. And I know I'm going to go to hell. And could you tell me how I could go to heaven? She said, matter of fact, I could. She said, she opened the scripture. In a matter of minutes, she led her to Christ. She was all excited about this. She came to church and she was just bragging on Jesus. And when you win someone to Christ, you're bragging on Jesus. She came to church and she couldn't wait to tell everyone, you can't believe who God saved my aunt who had never even talked to us. I went to the hospice to see Brother Ed and God had it worked out, and I went in the room and I led her to Christ. Her family was mad. You know, when people to Christ, you get the devil mad. But the church ought to be rejoicing. I saw her last night after prayer meeting. I had a couple of appointments, so I got done teaching prayer meeting. I had to go to the office because I was going to have some appointments. She said, preacher, I know you're in a hurry, but I got to tell you the story. She said, you know how the devil makes you doubt? She said, it was too easy. By the way, salvation is easy. Jesus did it all. All you have to do is accept it. She said, but you know how you get this doubt and family's now mad at me? And she said, I went back to hospice to see my aunt. She said, my cousin, who I haven't seen in years, was there. And they're all Catholic, and they don't like us Baptists, you know. She said, boy, this is going to be a great visit. And she said, oh, I see you're here. She said, yeah, just come to see your mom. And she said, well, mom's Catholic, and we called for the priest. She said, oh, that'd be nice. So they went into the room, and she said her aunt was laying there in bed, and just a matter of days, we'll die. Her cousin was there with her mom, and she said, mom, you have nothing to worry about. I called the priest. She said, call the priest. He's been here. I told him I was going to hell, and he didn't know what to do. But Lori came, and she told me about Jesus. Now I'm going to heaven. Everything's wonderful. So winning ought to produce fun in your church. Don't be some dried, dead church. People start walking down the aisles. You'll have so much joy, you won't be able to control your preacher. You'll say, he's going Pentecostal on us. Soul winning produces fun, produces future investments. Soul winning will produce every financial need you have in your church. Did you know that? I won't take the time, but I could fill up hours of telling you what God has done at Fairhaven Baptist Church. When I became the pastor, we were $178,000 in some odd, what it didn't matter to me, it might as well be $200,000 in debt, behind in our bills. They said, preacher, how are we going to pay this? I said, you created the debt, not me. It was here before me. I'm not taking the blame on that one. I hope you figure it out. Just make sure you take in enough money every week to pay me. I said, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't think that's my business to worry about that. God called me to be a soul winner. And I worked in banking, so I had a 5-year plan. I was helping God out. You ever help God out, you know? God needs help once in a while, you know? Just listen to people pray. Oh, God, you know, my husband, he's cheating on me. Kill him, you know? And, you know, if it's in your will, God. I was going to help God out do the financial thing. I got it all planned. And I said, God, now in 5 years, I'm going to get this church out of debt. And we're never going to borrow any more money, God. And I'm going to show this world what God can do. And God said, would you shut up? God had a better plan. The church took off, and we were running 150, 200 in the first 2 years. And when you bring in more people and they're in love with Jesus, people will give. I believe this with all my heart. Preacher didn't tell me to say it, but if you want to pay me, I will. You win someone's heart, you get their pocketbook too. There's something wrong with a Christian who doesn't tithe. I'll tell you something. They're the ones always complaining about the church. Why do we do that? Why do we fill up the baptism to baptize people? It costs money to run that water and heat that up. Those are people who don't tithe. Just mark that down. They don't want to go soul winning. They don't tithe. They're not happy and excited about the church. Don't worry about them. They'll go away. I always tell folks there's blessed additions to our church and blessed subtractions. People say, you're kidding me. You say, no, I'm not. People get mad and leave. I said, oh, they weren't happy anyways. I'm glad they're gone. Thank God they didn't take the whole church with them. So when it produced financing, God in a year and a half paid off that $178,000. We don't have the millionaires, and we didn't have one big check. I wish we did, because I could have retired more than a week. People started getting saved. Other people were coming to the church, excited about it. People started tithing, and before you knew it, we just paid it all off. But we had a problem in our church. We were growing so much, and though we paid all that, trying to catch up on $178,000 for a small church, a lot of money, if we took it a $500 offering a week, we were excited. I was, because I was getting paid that week. And all of a sudden, the offerings were $1,000 and $1,500, and now, the last 2 weeks, we've taken in $50,000 in 2 weeks. I don't do special offerings. I'm afraid they would not want to give to me when we do one for me, you know. Save. We'll have one for me. Soul winning will produce finances. We have never lived in our own home for... my wife and I have been married 31 years. We got married when we were 7. And, she was 10, but we don't tell everyone. And we never lived in our own home. Church could never afford to pay us. And we always lived in a parsonage. And people always say, oh, parsonage is a wonderful thing. No, it's not. Because after 30-some years, if I had died, my wife had nowhere to go. So we'd always pray, God, would you make some of those honorary Christians tithe and give a love offering to preachers so he can buy a house? One of the secretaries at work, and this was a few years back, and we were still in the parsonage, a man driving by the church, felt impressed to stop, drove in run back. He came up in the door, and he asked one of the secretaries, he said, Pastor Bob's still the pastor? They said, yeah, he's still here. Can't get rid of him. He stays a long time. He said, you still live in the parsonage? They said, yeah, he still lives in the parsonage. He said, you know, God's laid it on my heart. Preacher needs to buy his own house. Here's $10,000. You give that to the preacher. Tell him go buy his house. Don't tell me soul winning won't produce finances that you need. It does. It's a miracle that I'm standing here. My son, our youngest son, is 20 years old. 20 years ago, they told me, right around a few months more, and it'll be 21 years, they told me that I had 2 weeks to live and I was going to die. I had contacted, they thought I had cancer. I'd lost 90 pounds in just a couple of months, and we're living in the state of Florida, and we had no money, had no insurance. We moved down there to start a church. In 6 months, we started with zero. In 6 months, we were running 68, 70, rented a storefront, and God was really blessing, but I'd got sick. Every time I ate, I had a pain in my stomach. I went to several doctors there in Florida, and they ran some tests, and they said, Preacher, they said, you have a nervous stomach. I said, no, I don't have a nervous stomach. They said, no, really, you're in a high-stress job. I said, no, you don't understand. I make people sick. You know, I said, it's not, I don't have a nervous stomach. They said, no, maybe an ulcer. They ran all tests, couldn't find nothing wrong with me. But I kept losing weight, getting sicker and sicker. Finally, I'd lost so much weight, they became pretty concerned. And back in Michigan, in my former church that I had left to go down there and start a church, we had a doctor. And he said, Preacher, why don't you fly home? He said, why don't you let me run some tests on you? So we flew home and went to the clinic, and he ran a bunch of tests. He said, Preacher, I don't know what's the matter with you. He said, but I'd swear you have cancer. He said, you got all the symptoms, but I can't find it in any of the tests. He said, I need to go back to Florida, and you got to get hold of a specialist. I said, I don't have any insurance. We don't have any money. I said, I am a Baptist preacher, you know. And we flew back to Florida and still working in our little church. And I was trying to go soul winning every day. Even if I was going to die, I want to take someone with me, I guess. I was teaching school at the time, and I became so sick that I could hardly even go to work anymore, and lost so much weight. I had a man one night knock on our door. I was home with my wife, and we only had 2 children at the time. I don't know what we were thinking when we got the third one, but we had 2. And my wife was pregnant with our 3rd child, and we were sweating. How were we going to pay for her to have this child? I'm sick. Man knocked on the door. Never met the man before. Went to the door, and little short man stood there, and he said, are you O.J. McDowell? I said, no, I'm Dr. H.R. McDowell. I'm known as the Pastor Reverend Bob McDowell. I said, the only way you'd ever know me as O.J. McDowell, you'd go to down to Bible college where I played football. That was my nickname. They called me O.J. I said, but you're too old. You didn't go down there to Bible school when I did. I said, how do I know you? He said, you don't know me. He said, you know a fellow by the name of Jack Lee? I said, oh, yeah, Jack and I played football together, played baseball down in college together. He said he worked for me here in Orlando, Florida. He said he told me that you were sick. I said, I'm a little bit sick. He said, no, he said, you're really sick. I said, yeah, I'm really sick. He said, what'd the doctor say? I said, well, they can only do so much for me. We don't have insurance, and I don't have money to run the expensive test, and that's it. He said, no. He said, here's a check. It's blank. Just write in the amount, go see a specialist, and pride, you know. No thanks, God will provide. I didn't know he was, you know. No, God will handle this. God can heal. He can come down and touch me. I wouldn't take his check. I said, sir, I don't know you. He said, sir, I'm a millionaire. I said, I don't care. I don't know you. I said, in fact, what are you doing at my door? He said, do you know John and Alicia Moore? I said, oh, yeah, I was out soul winning a few weeks ago, knocked on their door. They're now coming to our church. He said, that's my son-in-law and my daughter. They've been out of church for years. My grandchildren don't even know the gospel. We're not even sure my grandchildren are going to go to heaven. He said, but you knocked on their door. He said, I am a millionaire, and everything I have you could have because you knocked on their door. I said, God will provide. Sorry, sir, I don't need your check. I went back, and my wife said, who it was. I said, some nut saying he's a millionaire, wants to give us a blank check. She said, well, did you take it? I said, no. His wife came back the next day and talked to my wife. She said, I understand you're pregnant. She said, yeah. I said, how are you paying for the baby? She said, we have no idea. She said, my husband wants to pay for your baby to be born. She said, you're kidding. I said, no, and tell your husband, full of pride. My husband set up an appointment with the number one blood specialist in the world here in Orlando. He'll seal your husband. I went to the blood specialist, and he saw me. He said, I'll treat you. He said, I think I know what's wrong with you. He treated me. It didn't get better. In fact, it got worse. I remember the last day I went to see him. Me and my wife drove across town to see him, and he said, Preacher, nothing I can do. You're going to die in about 2 weeks. You're going to die. There's nothing anyone can do. He said, I have a cancer doctor, a friend of mine. He's a specialist. He said he'd stay late in the office if you drive across town, the other side of town, and see him. And he's sure that he can't cure you, but he thinks he might be able to help you. I said, sure. I remember walking out. You talk about just a heartbreaking thing. My wife, lovely lady, she walked out. She said, what did he say? He said, I'm going to die. You say, you're the preacher and you were afraid? I'm not afraid where I'm going to go. I just wanted to raise my children. Just because you're a Christian, you don't get a pass in life on heartache. I said, he wants us to go see the cancer specialist. We got in our car, drove across town. I went in. As soon as I walked in, he said, where's your cancer, son? I said, they say I don't have it. He said, you have cancer. I'm telling you right now. You have all the symptoms just looking at you. I said, they say I don't. He said, you bring your records? I said, yeah. He took my records, went back when we came. He said, sit down. He said, I found your cancer. He said, it's in your colon. You're going to die. He said, nothing we can do for you. He said, if you'll let me do the surgery, though, he said, I might give you a few more weeks, but I could ease your pain. We got talking a little bit, and he said, how are you going to pay for this? I said, I have no idea. I've been a preacher all my life. We don't have health insurance and wouldn't have any money. He said, I'm an atheist. I said, you'll never touch me. He said, what? I said, I'd rather die under the hand of God and have you touch me and claim that there's no God. He said, are you going to pray against me? I said, no, I'm not going to pray against you, but you ain't touching me. He said, wait a second, don't pray against me. I said, I'm not going to pray against you. He said, let's work a deal out, just in case there is a God. I said, I thought you didn't believe in God. He said, in case there is. He said, I'll do the surgery, and you pay me $1 a week until you die. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll pay cash for it. Give me a figure. He wrote out the figure. We left the office and got in the elevator. My wife said, you know, behind every successful man is a surprised woman. We got in the elevator and the door shut. She said, are you crazy? We ain't got money and you tell them we're going to pay cash? I said, I didn't want them to blaspheme my God. And I didn't mean it. God knows I was probably in a high fever. I said, I just couldn't let it sit there. She said, well, you better get connected with God tonight. And then I remembered the check. I called Mr. Garrett up and said, cancer specialist said he'd do my surgery. He said, pay for it. Money's good. It's good. I remember I went back a few weeks later to have my surgery. And yeah, when he went into my colon, he didn't find the two tumors he told me that was there. He found 10 of them. And he told me when I came out of the surgery, he said, preacher, you ain't going to believe this. He said, I don't think you have cancer. I said, 2 weeks ago, you told me I'm going to die and you're sure I got cancer. He said, I can't be sure, but by removing all those, he said, not a one of them looked like they're cancers. He said, and where'd you get the money to pay? I said, I have a great God that you don't believe in. He gave me a discount because I paid cash. You say, well, preacher, don't you think it was just kind of luck and chance that you met this millionaire and that they just came over to your house and you were out soul winning and you met his daughter and son-in-law who went off to Bible school? You think that was just all coincidence? No, I think soul winning produced finances. We have a policy at our church. I talked to your preacher. No, he's frugal. I'm cheap. Could I have an amen from our folks? I'm cheap. I'm the guy who, right now, this time of year, my birthday's coming up, I tell all the folks, hey, send your kids the toilet paper our yard. We collect it so we don't have to buy it, you know, put it in the bag, you know. Recycle, I'm for it, you know. I could tell you story after story that we don't borrow money, zero. We spent about $2 million to build our new building. It's a couple years old now, and we have a problem. It's already filled up. We don't know what we're going to do next. Probably get a new preacher. We're getting tired of the building stuff, you know, and saving the money. So when you produce every problem you have. Financial, I was talking to a preacher, you guys got some plans. You get out soul winning, God will bring it in. Let me prove a point, because I was a businessman before I was a preacher. In banking, when someone came for a loan, we always did a background check and see if they were a high risk or a low risk before we gave them money. We'd want collateral. We'd want a track record of, did they pay their bills in the past? Are they good for it? Do they make enough? Is the percentage of what they borrow and, compared to what they owe out now, will they be able to make all the bills? We used to run all the background check. We were very, very frugal in the banking. We didn't just loan money to anyone that came in. You think about God now. God's sitting in heaven. Remember, He gave His very best. His only begotten Son to die for you. Not for good people. For sinners. He left a commission with the church. Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. God's sitting up in heaven. He looks down upon His creation. There's all kinds of churches all over. And there's a church over there that's filthy with money, but never does anything to bring anyone to Christ. And they're crying out in their prayers, God, we need more. And God said, are you kidding me? I gave you more and you didn't use it. Right. Here's a little church saying, God, we want to be used of you. And we're making our prayers and our petitions to you. Yeah, we want to be good stewards. We don't want to borrow money. God, it's your building. And we're your people. Who's God going to give the money to? Well, God's greater than any man. If loaning institutions have all these checks and balances, why would we think God would be any different? I believe with all my heart, the reason God has blessed the Fairhaven Baptist Church financially is because there's a bunch of soul winners over there that just have a burden for the lost. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, He came from heaven, stepped down from His throne, never left His deity, stepped down from His throne, came to the earth, and here's what He came for. To seek and save that which was lost. He said, I didn't come for a church to sit around and look so good. He said, I didn't come to a church and hope they have a beautiful choir and the preacher's funny and everyone's just having a wonderful time in church and never win anyone to Christ. The greatest sin a church ever does is get away from the soul-winning process. That's ruined more churches than false doctrine. To believe everything we're supposed to believe and do nothing about it. That is a great sin. Soul winning will produce fun, joy. It'll produce finances. Last of all, soul winning will produce fellowship. Outside of our church, I don't have any friends. Let me tell you why. I know you say, oh, you can't have friends. Oh, you're not friendly. I don't have time. My church is my life. Everything we do at our house is geared around our church. Our kids will say, hey, you want to go do something? Let us check the calendar and see. You say, oh, I think family ought to be first. So do I. Two of our three children that are right with God are members of our church. The other one, some lame excuse, he's a pastor somewhere else. Our whole life is geared around our church. And our whole church is geared around one main thought. Bring the lost to Jesus Christ. We give an invitation at every party that we have. If our teenagers have a social activity, have to give the gospel and give an invitation. I'll tell you this and I'll close. And this is why I'm so firm about that. You don't know who's sitting here among you right now who needs Christ. Oh, we know everyone's saved. Really? Had a youth director several years ago. He's not with us anymore. Come to work for us. And I sit down and I explain for anyone who comes to work for me what I expect. Never be late. When someone's late, I have a problem with that. I tell them, you steal time, you'll steal money. I believe that with all my heart. Don't be late. 8:30 every day. 8:30. Show up 8:30. Be there at 8:30. If not, I need to dock you. Where you been? It's 8:31. We start at 8:30. Got to be on time. Number two, everyone be a soul winner on our staff. Everyone be a soul winner. Everyone's got to go. I went hunting and youth director decided he didn't like my standards. That preacher's crazy. We're just having a bonfire We used to have a little fire pit at the church, and young people were coming over there and sing some songs, roast some hot dogs, and he decided he wasn't going to have the gospel. Preacher's out of town, what do I care? Had his little bonfire, had his hot dog. By the way, I'm not against that. You ought to have fun. Teenagers ought to have fun. I have a riot with our teenagers. They go soul winning with me on Monday night. When we're all done, we go to 7-Eleven and have Slurpees. I come home with this big old Slurpee. My wife said, the kids made me get it. I didn't want it, but they said, we're not getting one if you don't get one, preacher, so I get it. He decided he wasn't going to. He was tired of this. Got to give the gospel, and you got to give an invitation. Had a visitor that night, first time he ever came to any of our activities, ever. It's the only time that our young people never had the gospel given at their activity. Didn't give an invitation. They had a cute little prayer to close off. God bless us all and take us home safe. In the middle of the night, that visiting teenage boy, nothing wrong with him at all, died that night. Died. This suddenly died. I received a phone call and said, preacher, they want you to come back. The family, they don't know you, but they want you to come back and they want you to do the funeral. They said, put the youth director on the phone. Got on the phone and said, hey, I had a kid come last night. He said, yeah, it's a tragedy. Tragedy, preacher. He said, completely healthy, nothing wrong. And prayed and went home and he died. I said, did he respond to the invitation that you had last night? He said, I didn't have an invitation. He said, you didn't what? He said, I didn't have an invitation. I said, was there any response when you gave the gospel? He said, I didn't give the gospel. I said, when I get home, have all your stuff packed, you're done. You say, oh, are you that mean preacher? Yeah, I am. As far as I know, a young man died and went to hell. And that blood is on our hands. Every activity we have, you must give the gospel. You say, why? Because soul winning will produce whatever you need in your church. You get a fighting church, you send them out soul winning, they'll quit fighting. Because you're about the Father's business. I'll tell you what's wrong with the churches in America. Preachers aren't soul winners anymore. I'm not a very great preacher. I never will be. But I'll tell you what I do every week. I go knock on doors. I just go out and knock on doors. You say, why? Makes up for all my inadequacies as a pastor. I don't even know how to say those big words. But I can win someone to Christ, and they'll walk down the aisle. I'll tell you what, they're my best friends in church. Oh, yeah, a preacher wanted me to Christ. Yeah, preacher came by my house. And if, as the leader, the shepherd of the church, they see a preacher doing it, they're going to want to do it. It produces fun, joy in our church. They get crazy sometimes. Someone walked down, we baptized last Sunday night. I baptized two girls. I held them minutes after they were born. I held them in my hand. I've had the privilege of being their pastor from the time they were born. I've prayed over them. They used to come every week, two or three times a week. Their dad worked afternoons for Ford, so he'd take them for a walk in the afternoon before he went to work. Put them in a little wagon, he'd bring them over, and they'd come to church, and they'd say, preacher, you're our favorite preacher. Where's the candy? And I'd go and get them some candy, and we'd sit and we'd have candy. And they'd always say, preacher, would you sing for us? I'd say, yeah, okay, I'll sing. I've had the privilege of praying and watching them grow up, and they trusted Christ as their Savior. Last Sunday night, I had the privilege of baptizing them. There's no greater joy in our church. You should have heard them. Old Grandpa came to me and he said, preacher, I just want to hug you. Thank you for telling my granddaughters about Jesus. Oh, Dad caught me before I left the baptism. And he said, preacher, I just want to hug you. I said, I'm not used to hugging men, but let's just keep it quick here, you know. Those two little girls came out all dressed, their hair tied back wet from the baptism tank. They said, preacher, can we hug you? So we can produce joy, produce fellowship, produce finances. And last of all, it produces favor with God. You get busy about soul winning, and you'll be surprised what God will do with this church. God's just looking for a church. I'm telling you, in this area, God said, I'm looking for a church to get serious about what I'm serious about. The dearest thing to God is people coming to Christ. And Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The wisest man in all the world said, he that winneth souls is wise. I want to ask you tonight, every head bowed, every eye closed. Preacher's going to come and handle the invitation in just a moment. Are you wise tonight? You know what the greatest time is? You ought to hear those folks coming back. We have a soul winning program, and I'll share it through the week here with you about it. We have people who have been saved 10, 15 years, never want anyone to Christ. We have a soul winning program. They'll come and take a 13-week class with us, and we teach them how to go soul winning. You should see the joy that's in our church when they come. Preacher, I want my first one to Christ. I hope it's not the last. Are you wise tonight? Maybe some folks need to come tonight and say, preacher, I want to get serious about this soul winning stuff. Preacher, I'll go with you. Preacher, I want to get in on that good stuff. I want joy in my life. I want sweet fellowship with other saints. And so it will produce everything this church needs. Are you wise? Now, Father, we come to the invitation. You said, Jesus, that if you're lifted up, you draw all men unto you. And tonight, we pray that Christ is exalted. Lord, we have no story to tell other than that Jesus came and died for our sins. Lord, I pray that you would put a hunger in every one of our hearts to be soul winners, to be pleasing to you, just to go out and tell a lost world their only hope is Christ. And how dare us to hide that light? Now bless the invitation. You move in a mighty way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.